Ooh, someone sent a spoiler image to the chat. I'm kind of curious what that is.
I hope it's a penis. Do a wacky intro.
Oh yeah, we have a thing for that. Let's go.
Okay, sick.
All right, so normally we have the guest introduce the show, so take it away.
Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the first podcast. It's the first one ever.
Yeah.
It was founded in 1962 by my good friends here, and it's the first one, so just buckle up, buddies.
What are your good friends' names?
Can you tell them who you are?
Lars. He creates things, yeah. And hey, can you talk? The other one, can you talk?
Yeah, wait. Yeah.
Co-host Joe. I can't believe that's your whole name, co-host
Thank
Joe.
Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful introduction. My name's Joe. I'm going to be the co-host today. And with me, as always, I have Lars. Thanks for joining us, Lars.
And I'm Bill.
Oh, yeah. By the way, the co-host Joe is not his real name. Like, that's not, like, his, like, artist's name. That's just because so people know in the Discord that he's a co-host.
Oh, I thought that was his birth name.
No, my birth name is co-host Joseph.
That would
Joseph.
Have been hard.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, dude. That was really disrespectful of me.
No, not disrespectful. It's okay. You didn't know either, so it's okay.
Yeah, you go by right, Bill, right? Like,
yeah, Bill.
Is your full name Kill William?
No, it's not, actually. My real name is Billy. Like, Billy, like, is my, it's on my birth certificate.
Oh, okay. So, your name is actually a death wish.
Basically, yeah. Okay. And I'm a junior, so, you know, there's two of them walking around. That's crazy.
Ah. Like a junior, like, you're going to be a senior next year?
No, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yo, this guy's
I got
crazy.
Jokes. I got jokes up my sleeve.
Joe's got a lot of jokes. I wish some of them were funny.
I go for quantity over quality.
Clearly.
Rich homie quantity.
Bill, can you go ahead and tell the audience who may or may not be familiar with you a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Well, I'm Bill. I make music, I rap, I produce, and I am a podcaster. Is that a podcast man, podcast slut?
Mm-hmm.
For
We Don't Suck.
Which is with my good friend Rav, and we run a internet net label thingy called Exociety, and yeah, that's pretty much it, I guess. You know, I'm kind of a nerdy guy. I like long walks on the beach. And talking to strangers on the internet.
Let's hear more about those long walks on the beach. You have a favorite beach?
Yeah, I do. Edisto Beach here in South Carolina is really
I've
sick.
I've
never heard of this,
but I'm assuming that
that's why it's dope, because no one knows about it. Like, you can go there, and it's just like, you know, the only people that know about it are like old rich people, but they're kind of quiet and out of the way, and they're going to die
Not
soon,
two guys so. From Southern California.
No.
Yeah,
no, you would. But I mean, if you ever come out here, man, I'll show you Edisto Beach. There's a lot of shells, though. That's the only thing you gotta be careful.
Speaking of shells, Bill, do you know the three shells method of pooping?
I don't. Please enlighten me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I guess we're doing this.
Joe, keep him talking for a second. I'll go ahead and pull that up.
So basically, what Lars is gonna do is he's gonna pull up some research that has been done on the three shells method. It's a method that Lars is gonna go over momentarily. And before I finish the sentence, in fact, it's likely, very, very likely, that Lars will have concluded his Google search, and he'll be returning shortly with the picture that has been promised, which is the reason why I'm still talking now. He asked me to keep talking while he goes to find the picture. So,
So here's the three shells method in the general chat.
Oh.
This is, if you have a beach with a lot of shells, this is a good way to put them to use.
Okay, let's see here. Hold on. I have to move this a little closer really quick. Let's see. Take two of the seashells and place them between your fingers to be used like chopsticks. Using the two seashells, gently pull on feces to remove them from your posterior until bowels have been completely emptied. Okay, I like where this is going so far. Using the third seashell, scrape away any fecal remnants from your posterior, then dispose of all three seashells in the toilet and flush. Okay, so, I mean, I have some questions,
sure.
But overall, I give this method like a good 8 out of 10.
I feel like he'd probably cause you to bleed a little bit, so maybe not a 10 out of 10, but...
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, toilet paper can make you bleed if you get the really cheap stuff and you have a sensitive butthole, so... You know,
yeah. If you got a sensitive butthole,
Joe is known as a sensitive butthole. But, well,
yeah. That's what people call me, but that's just a nickname.
Spicy in here. That was spicy, a little spicy.
So you just came out with the new collab album with Rav, who I think owns your label, right?
Yes. He's not my boss though, because I'll give him noogies if he says that. But yeah, me and Rav, Rav and I. Have recently released a project called New Moon. I think it was in January, like mid-January. And people seem to dig it on the internet. But it's a fun project. We had a lot of fun doing it. And yeah.
I noticed you guys kind of collaborate a lot. Are you guys just like best friends in real life? Is that where that came from? Or
yeah, our origin story is actually kind of funny. We met, like, okay, he was born in the USSR, like, you know, like back when that was a thing, you know, in like 91. And
sure.
I was born in South Carolina and I've lived in South Carolina most of my life. Uh-huh. And we met on the internet. He made music. I made music. We actually didn't like each other when we first met. We were both like assholes. Like we were like in a like really like shitty, like troll stage of our lives.
Oh, I remember that stage. Yeah.
Yeah, it was rough. And then one day we got thrown into a Skype call together, and like we were both like kind of being dicks to each other, but we made each other laugh. And then I quickly realized like, huh, he's all right, you know. And then we started talking, and then at the time, like, I was living in Colombia, and I was basically like, I would wake up in the morning and turn Skype on and just like leave him in the room, like while I was like doing stuff, and I had my mic set up, and I would just like talk, and we just became homies. Like it was like just like good friends, you know. And then we started making music together like pretty frequently, and then he ended up moving in with me, like all the way. He was living in London at the time. Well, he still lives in London, but he moved in with me for like 3 months, the allotted time that you can stay here. And that's when we did my first project, which was Ramona, and we did that together. And like I had been rapping for a long time, and he had been rapping for a long time. But I was like one of those dudes that like, I'm really bad at like just getting my shit together and making an album. And I'd never done one at that point. And so he was just like, yeah, if you don't make an album, I'm going to murder you in your sleep. Oh. And so, yeah, that's what we did that one. And then he moved back, and then he did not his first album, but his first like serious album, Beneath the Toxic Jungle, which I like mixed a lot of that down. And I was featured on that a lot. So we've always made music together, though, like ever since I was super serious. Like we've always been passing files back and forth. It's just we think very similarly, like artistically, you know.
Rav is short for ravioli, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's Ravioli Benjamin is his middle name. Benjamin.
I actually first was introduced to you because I was browsing through Spotify and kind of going through the radio, and I saw this track called Then There's Me. And I kind of related to it right away because you're talking about how, like, growing up, you didn't have any brothers, so you played Nintendo, and I was like, oh, me too. So that's, that's kind of how I became a fan. I just kind of been following you ever since.
That's like just being an only child and living out in the country in the woods, and, like, I didn't want to go outside because there was no one to play with, and so I just played Nintendo all the time. That's kind of how, like, me and Rav, like, got hooked up, I guess, because, like, I mean, he had siblings and stuff, but, like, at the time, he was living by himself. And I had a roommate that was never around. And so it was just like the same situation, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like, oh, I'll just talk to people on the internet. You know what I mean?
And yeah. I used to live in Minnesota, and the weather was brutal. So especially during the winter, no one really wanted to go outside. So got a lot of hours in on the video games at that point.
Oh yeah, definitely. Minnesota can get, it gets a little icy out there.
It's icy awful. The Gucci I neck. Never want to go there again. The neck.
Yeah. I grew up in California, so I just played outside.
What part of California are you from?
Originally, I was actually born in New Jersey, but I moved to California when I was very, very young. So, Fullerton.
Okay. I don't know exactly where that is.
It's next to Anaheim, which is where Disneyland is.
Oh, okay. Word.
Yeah, I was born in Germany myself, actually, but I'm located in Huntington Beach right now.
That's sick.
I like it. It's a great place. I don't really have much to say about that.
Yeah. I feel that. I love California, dude. Like, it's like a
cool... Have you been? Oh, wait, yeah, of course. We your first episode of the podcast, you were talking about that.
Yeah, we did that with... It was me and Rav and Aerospace did a show out there. And it was great. I loved it. We were, like, staying in, like, Glendale just because, like, that was, like, where the Grumps office was. But, and we wanted to, like, be in proximity because, like, we knew we were going to do the podcast there or whatever. But, we were all over. I think the show was in, like, Pacoima. So, like, we were kind of out of the way and, like, in the middle of, like, just a cool little barbershop where no one knew how to get to. So, that was fun. Yeah, we just, like, literally took a barbershop and did a rap show there. We were trying to do the most rapidy rap shit we could possibly do.
Was it super fun?
Yeah, that was probably like the most fun I've ever had at a show.
Yeah, you had mentioned that you had a tendency to call things super fun, so it was just...
Oh yeah, that's right.
Making a reference.
Super fun.
By the way, just in terms of the Ramon album, I thought it was really cool how there's a lot of Scott Pilgrim influence on there. That's actually my favorite movie, so I was like really intrigued when I first saw that.
Oh yeah, rock on. Yeah, that whole thing is actually not like a direct... Well, it is a reference, but it's not supposed to be like themed towards Scott Pilgrim. What it is like, I saw the movie and then I read the graphic novels after, and I was always just like super like into, like, I thought Ramona was like the perfect girl, like, and at the time, yeah, like I was super duper single, like I've been single for like 2 years or something, and like the idea was that like Ramona is like this unattainable girl that you'll never be with. Like, she has all these evil exes and like, it's such a like tall mountain to climb. And like the whole idea of the album is like, I'm chasing this girl that at the end of the day doesn't actually exist. And, but it's actually more like about like happiness, like chasing happiness. It's not like necessarily a girl. You know what I mean? It's just like a goal that cannot be achieved. You know,
do you still feel that way about Ramona? But like I feel like my opinion of Ramona has not aged as well for the years. Like,
I haven't read it in a minute, to be completely honest with you. Okay.
Well, the Ramona in the graphic novels is way different than the movie.
Yeah, definitely. But like, I feel like my opinions are still the same, but it's also like I haven't read it in so long.
Yeah.
Like, it's all like dumb fuzzy to me right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, my opinion on the whole idea of like her being perfect is what it is, because she's like if you can have a waifu that isn't Japanese, like isn't anime, I guess she would be it for me.
And I noticed that Rav and Ramona start with the same two letters, so
yeah,
maybe there's something subliminal going on there.
Subliminal, you know what I'm saying? Maybe. You know, he did dye his hair blue for the Ramona release, so We're definitely fucking. There's no getting away around that.
I actually have a question.
Well, go ahead, Joe.
So that album was written about a fictional, not like a real experience. Or...
I mean, it's not like necessarily like the album was written like in any way. Like, it was like just a thematic thing throughout. Like, all the things that happened. Like, there's some things that are metaphors, and there's some tracks that are about like real things that happened in my life. It's all kind of like peppered in, like Chinatown, for example, somebody was asking me about that song the other day, and that song isn't about a girl at all. It's about like when you first meet, well, it's more like a situational thing, but it's about like when you first meet a girl and it feels like, you don't even speak the same language. And it's like, that weird awkward stage when you first meet someone. Sometimes.
Yeah, like when you're traveling abroad and you meet someone who doesn't speak the same language. Yeah.
Exactly. No.
Very literal, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, but I remember somebody on like
Tumblr
a long, long time ago told me I was fetishizing Asian women with that song, and it's not even about a woman like at all. And
yeah, I take the opinions of Tumblrites with a grain of salt.
It was a different time too, but you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
I really like that album. I've listened to at least, I think, 5 of the songs on your Spotify, the popular ones. I think all of them are from that album.
Which ones are you talking about, Joe?
Dream Eater, Black Coffee, About Last Night, Love Drug, and I think Backwoods is on there too, right? So all...
Love Drug's off the new one. Yep. Yeah, Love Drug's off the new one, but I don't know if Love Drug's up there yet.
Love Drug's your number... It's on number 4 popular.
Oh, snap. Yeah, okay. Then awesome. I'm finally breaking the numbers on there.
Dream Eaters looks like number one at 800,000 or something hits.
Love Drug, it slaps, dude. It's a great track. I like it a lot.
Thanks, man. That was a really fun one. That was like one of the last ones we recorded. And Rav's fiance actually found that beat and was like, y'all need to rap over this beat. And then like, so we hooked it up and we hit up City Girl. City Girl's a person who produced that, and we got the okay on that. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was super fun.
Super fun.
By the way, Joe, I know of a company that's not super fun, but they are super affordable. Oh. I think we should talk about them.
Well, if you're talking about Mint Mobile, I would love nothing else.
I absolutely am.
That was a segue right there, guys.
Yeah. Mint Mobile is a company that piggybacks off of T-Mobile, buys service in bulk, and passes the savings on to you.
On to you.
I use it myself as a customer. Their plans start at a certain amount, which Joe can go ahead and tell us about.
$15.
$15 a month for wireless. It's a really good deal. I actually use it myself, and I'm happy to have them on as a sponsor as well. I highly recommend that you go check them out.
If you did want to give this...
Yes, Thick Meme Queen in the chat says, what a steal. And she is absolutely correct. Their plans actually max out with the Mac Daddy package of $38 a month. Soviet Spy says, if it's not foreskin, I don't want it. That's a weird thing to say, buddy.
If it's not foreskin, I don't want it.
That's such a weird thing to say, but okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
If you guys want to go and check out Mint Mobile, it's a really good deal. Again, I'm a customer. You can go ahead and go to mint.t1podcast.com.
Everyone go there right now, mint.t1podcast.com, and sign up.
Bill, what's the URL?
God, I wasn't paying. Mint, Mint Mobile. Yo, guys, what?
Fake Queen Memes got it.
Yeah.
She got it.
Mint.t1podcast.com.
Oh, mint.t1podcast.com. That's exactly what I said the first time.
They do offer a mint for every purchase.
Oh, that's sick.
All right, let's go ahead and move on. And that's not true, what Joe just said.
I mean, you can let them think that.
Let's get back into it. Obviously, given the themes of your tracks, some of them at least, you're obviously a gamer. I'm actually kind of curious, is there anything you've been playing recently that's been holding your attention?
Yes. I've just been playing fucking Dragon Ball FighterZ constantly just because I'm recently just starting to sort of get good at it. And I got the new Pokemon, got the Eevee version because my girl thinks that Eevee is cute. And so I was like, Eevee is kind of cute. I need to get
that. That's fair.
You know, it's pretty good. I've gotten like to the fourth. Yeah, I just beat Erica. So I just beat the fourth gym. Mm-hmm. And I haven't played it as much. But that and the new Resident Evil 2, the remake, I've been playing a lot.
But. Oh, was that any good? Like, I really, really liked Resi 7, but it seems like it's kind of like they took the UI from that, but they made it third person. Is it like a decent remake or?
Yeah. I think it's pretty good. I think they did a pretty good job of actually making, if you play on a hardcore mode, it's actually terrifying. Like you get some like fight or flight feelings out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, it is a lot different than 7 just because, you know, it's in third person and it has a different vibe. You know, in 7, it feels like there is a threat and you must eliminate it to progress. Whereas like in 2, you're running around through a city. Everything's trying to kill you at all times. You ain't going to kill all them zombies. You just got to keep it moving. You know?
Well, in Resi 7, it was kind of more like you're just in this one house and there's these creepy family members that are just trying to slaughter you. And I actually really like that setting. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. Kinda I like gross. 7 a lot, actually. Yeah. It was really gross. Yeah. Me and like my girl, she played it with me and like she had never played Resident Evil. She like watched all the movies and stuff, but she never played any of them. And she really liked it. And she doesn't play like a lot of games. But she was like, always like, yo, put that shit on. So I fuck with 7 a lot. The remake of 2 is really good too, though. I don't like it quite as much as 7, but it's still dope.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Nintendo a little earlier, you heard that Reggie's retiring, right?
Dog, that really hurt.
Yeah.
And Bowser's taking over, dude.
Doug Bowser is taking over Nintendo. A guy named Bowser.
That's apt.
That's so perfect.
Imagine like dude, James Eggman is about to take over Sega right now. You know? Uh-huh.
Is that a thing?
You gotta be careful. Watch out for him. Yeah, James Eggman, dude. Be careful.
I almost thought that was like an Onion article when I first read it, but yeah, I guess that's really his name.
Yes, I am an expert on Doug Bowser.
Oh, go ahead and tell us a little bit about him, Joe.
So I can tell you that Bowser...
By the way, Sticky Man, is that Doug Bowser that you just posted in the chat? He looks like a dweeb.
Yeah, yeah. So what I can tell you is that it is correct. Bowser is taking over Nintendo for real. So what do you want to know? I mean, for those who have never played any of Nintendo's hugely popular Mario games, Bowser is a giant anthropomorphic turtle-like creature. But that's
funny joke, Joe.
Yeah.
Can I just like make a quick statement?
Yeah.
And I'm sure the listeners can't see it, but like the picture that was posted of him in chat, like I really just want to like, no disrespect to him. I think he's like probably a great guy, right? Especially if sure. he's filling Reggie's shoes. Reggie's like the best dude of all time. Okay. So I want to like, just like spit on that dude's head and just like go on. That's what I want to do. Like one good time. And I don't want to hurt his feelings, but I want to do it. You know, I just want
well, to. I'm sure he gets that a lot. So that's not necessarily a bad thing.
That's what Reggie did to initiate him.
Speaking of which, do you think that there's really anyone who can do what Reggie did? He kind of had that presence that just, that's going to be hard to replace.
I mean, I think that Reggie had, like you said, his presence, like just something about his aura was like very positive, and it makes me feel like I would want to eat Thanksgiving dinner with him. And this other fella,
that's a very funny description.
Well, I look at him like a part of the holidays because like I don't care about video games like console games like as much. But as soon as I see some Nintendo shit drop, it's like oh man, Christmas coming right around the corner. You know what's about to slap, you know? Yeah. And so you know, around Thanksgiving time, you're eating your turkey and you look, it's like, oh, we've got a Nintendo Direct, and you just see Reggie's face just like shoved into the camera, and you're like, yeah, this is exactly what I needed. You know, I don't know if this Bowser fella can do it.
Now that he's retiring, you might want to like reach out to him, see if he wants to do like a Thanksgiving rap track or something with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Or just, I'll just reach out to him and be like, can you please eat Thanksgiving with us? That's it. Yeah. Like, I need you at the table. There's been an empty chair there for years and years and years waiting on you to retire and just slide in over here, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Joe, do you think we should toss a hypothetical at him?
I think that might be a good idea.
Okay, we have kind of a tradition on the show where we ask the guests a hypothetical question.
Did you say we have a transmission on the show?
Nope, I said tradition.
All right, rewind.
I cannot live another day without air conditioning.
Says tomorrow's going to be hotter.
Hotter?
Like yesterday.
Yesterday? Yesterday you said you'd call Sears.
I'll call today.
You call now.
I'll call now.
I guess, yeah, that's actually what I said.
Oh, good. Okay. Go. So anyway.
Let's hear it.
So, okay, let's suppose that the military was able to house, maintain, and train a well-maintained army of 1 million animals.
Uh-huh.
And they used them for military exploits. Which do you think would be the best animal for this job?
Sloth.
Sloth?
A sloth?
Yeah, sloth. Like millions of sloths.
Why?
I mean, you ain't gonna hurt a sloth, you know? It's just chilling, you know? But it can
so
kill.
So they're gonna win passively.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, think about it. Like, okay, like, the terrorists bust open the door. ISIS busts open the door, okay? Yeah. And they just see thousands of sloths just chilling in a room. What are they gonna do? They can't blow that up. You know, they're going to look at me like, oh, they're kind of cute in a weird way, but they smell kind of weird. So I'm going to go away. And okay, realistically. Okay. No, I didn't
Let's
really
say
think
that it has to be an attack animal, though.
An attack animal. Wolverines.
Okay.
Definitely wolverines. And here's why. They also smell bad. That will deter the enemy.
Well,
because obviously everyone knows ISIS is afraid of bad smelling things.
Wait, but this is supposed to be a real animal, well, not like an X-Men character.
No, the Wolverine is a real animal. It is a part of
You said
of
Wolverine,
the...
right?
Oh, dude, an army of a million Wolverines from X-Men would be... Holy shit.
Well, but it has to be a real animal, though.
Okay, yeah. Badgers.
The Wolverine is it's an X-Men character.
Yeah.
Joe. All right.
I'll stop.
Can someone look up what a Wolverine and or a badger, like what family tree of genus that's from? Because whatever those are, they're broken.
I think they're related to chickens, actually.
I believe
don't quote
you.
Me on that.
Can somebody find that? I need to know. There's like a word for like the family, like you have canines or dogs, but like
it's all right, like let's Wolverines take a 30-second break and research this. Let's find out.
Cool Wolverine facts. Wolverines have poor eyesight, but their senses of hearing and smell are excellent, which help them find the prey more easily.
They're mammals.
There's a word. Hold on
it
a
says
second.
I'll pull this up. Gulo. I don't know if it's gulo or guyo.
Wow.
Or...
20 to 55 pounds as an adult.
Yeah.
Oh, the population's decreasing.
I don't think a badger would be a very good animal for this, but I maybe a wolverine.
It's like Mustelidae or something. Mustelids. That's what they are. Mustelids.
Sure. Yeah, I know what that means, I guess.
I'm actually an expert.
I don't know.
On
I
that.
Just. Y'all okay. Fuck with that. The YouTube channel is called Tier Zoo. Do y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, they did a whole thing on them, and they were talking about how the badger is actually a pretty badass animal, not just because it's the honey badger don't take no shit meme or whatever. It's like they're actually. Like they can go toe to toe with much larger animals, so can wolverines, and they'll just like completely fuck them up. Like there's a thing where like a wolverine like fucked a bear up, and I was like, okay,
that
I'm with it.
That sounds like fake news, but I'll take your word for it.
I'm thinking badgers, just honey badgers, an army of honey badgers. That'll really get the job done because they're kind of like the enemy will be like, oh, you know, they don't look that menacing, and then next thing you know, they're being overrun. By these rabid
they don't
animals.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. Times a million.
They don't give a shit.
Wolverine's thick fur is dark and oily, and it's resistant to frost and water.
Gross. Ew.
Yeah.
Let's say it was an army of zombie animals. Like, when one dies, another one takes its place. What would the answer be?
Squirrels.
That's pretty menacing.
An army of a million zombie squirrels.
Imagine if they is like squirrels had little zombie fangs or like vampire fangs, I guess. But they like, you know, they had fangs.
Is there a difference
like
between
kind of
zombie fangs and regular fangs?
I don't know. It's kind of more decayed.
Okay.
And they're kind of like a greenish color and they've got some red in there for some reason, I guess, because their skin's falling off and their eyes are all yellow and jaundiced. And then you just like see them and you're just like, what's that over there? Then you just hear like whatever noise a squirrel makes. But more menacing, and it just...
Thick Meme Queen said in the chat that zombie fangs are more yellow. That sounds vaguely racist. I don't know about that, but I guess maybe that's the difference.
You know, I'm not going to, you know... I'm just going to keep quiet on this one, because I don't want to offend anybody. You know,
yeah.
I'm not trying to offend the zombie population.
Well, if there's any population you don't want to piss off, it's zombies for sure.
Yeah, man. Zambezies.
Speaking of which, by the way... Thick Meme Queen submitted a 16-part question. If you wanna take it,
yeah, I'll tackle this one.
All right,
please. It's not gonna be like you read the entire 16 parts and then I have to. Is it? We're gonna take this one at a time or what?
I'm gonna read all 16 at once and then you're gonna need to answer. No. We'll do lightning round. Like real
okay,
quick.
Lightning round. Ready?
Okay. Who was /were/are the biggest influences in your music?
Oh God.
Besides Frank Sinatra.
I do love me some Frank. I think like a lot of video game music coming up. Like Koji Kondo, you know, he did a lot of the fucking classics, like he did Mario and Zelda and like a bunch of other ones.
All right. Let's keep these lightning round. Okay. If you weren't doing music now, what would you be doing?
Probably waiting tables and being a disappointment to my family.
If you had to WWE fight one of the members of EXO, who would it be and why?
Definitely Aerospace, because it would be a good fight. We're both kind of sizable guys. He would probably win, but yeah, I would fight Aerospace.
What has been the most pivotal... This is a tough question. Okay. What has been the most pivotal moment in your life so far?
Probably buying a microphone when I was 15. I spent all summer trying to save up to get a microphone, and it's a microphone I'm talking on right now still.
Awesome. What was the hardest lesson you ever had to learn? Jeez.
The hardest lesson I ever had to learn is to know your worth and don't take shit from nobody.
Spicy or sweet?
Spicy.
Why?
Because I love hot
sauce. No. Ice cream is sweet.
What?
I thought you said...
No, I said spicy or sweet. Joe just misheard me.
I invented a new question about ice cream.
Ha ha ha. Funny stuff as always, Joe.
Yeah. I mean, you could ask me that too. But yeah, definitely spicy. I like sweet stuff too, but like I put hot sauce on like everything.
Your ice cream?
That's.
Do you watch Hot Ones with Sean Evans?
I would. Yeah, that's what got me into buying obscure hot sauces off of the internet.
Yeah, I love hot sauce. Yeah.
I like hot sauce too.
Hell yeah.
Where do you see yourself in your career in the next year? 5, 10?
Like, in the next year, I want to be like 10 times more popular than I am right now.
Oh, I think we all do, but yeah. Okay.
But like, not just like that. Like, I don't know. Like, I want to like have like a sustainable like company that's like bigger than me.
Got it.
That's kind of like the general idea. It's like this year is what we're trying to like do. I just quit my job like last month. So like, you know, so I'm basically trying to do this full time and like, you know, make everybody proud at the Thanksgiving dinner. That Reggie will hopefully be at.
It always ties back to the Thanksgiving. That's right.
Oh, yeah. I love Thanksgiving.
Do you have any goals or aspirations? This is a weird question that she asked. Do you have any goals or aspirations that you think are unattainable? That's so weird. Okay.
I don't know about unattainable. Like, there's things that I want to do that, like, I don't know if I could possibly do them or not. But then if I say, like, they're unattainable, then I wouldn't be... I'd be giving up, you know, so nothing's unattainable. I will be president of Uruguay.
Makes sense.
That's a lofty goal.
That's the next logical step after Kill Bill the Rapper.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Uruguay, good place.
If you could trade places with anyone for a day, dead or alive, who would it be?
I would trade places with MF Doom just because I want to, one, know what it feels like to wear the mask, and two, like, see what his house is like.
Yeah, that's a good answer. What's your favorite strain?
Gelato. I like gelato a lot.
What do you think about Taco Bell?
It's pretty good. It's not as bad as people say it is.
Yeah. Was the feedback for your new album expected or different than what you expected?
It was pretty positive, and I think it was, yeah, I would say it was expected. I think that we knew that it was going to get a little bit more buzz than the other ones at that time, you know.
Do you have any hidden talents?
Yes, I do, but I'm trying to think of one that's actually worth.
Well, this is lightning round, so you can just say yes, you do. That's fine.
Yes, I do.
What's your favorite place you traveled?
Definitely California.
Of course. And do you have any place that you want to perform next?
I really would like to do something in London with Ravioli.
Sounds good. And this is apparently a necessary question. What's next for you and XO?
Ooh. I can't, there's like a ongoing meme because I always dry snitch our plans to everybody on the internet. So I can't say, but I'm going to just tell you it's good.
So there's good stuff cooking. Shit
we got planned. Yeah. We got like, this is like the year, like this is some crazy shit we got cooking up right now. So.
Okay. Are you, but that was all 16 of the questions, by the way. Thank you for participating. Thank you. Thick Meme Queen, AKA I think it's Oral Jeff now on the XO Discord or sending those in.
It was Anal Jones. Was that it?
Yeah, but then I think she changed it today.
Shout out Meme Queen. She's great. She always comes to the streams and then says that she wants to cook me and my girl authentic food in Florida. And so she invites us to Florida to eat food.
Let's actually talk about New Moon a little bit. It's a new collab album with Ravioli. And I noticed you guys collaborate a lot, but this was like complete split down the middle. Like you guys did every track together, right?
Yeah, there's a few solos, but it was like for every solo song that had him, I had a solo song. Okay. So it was like we try to give each other the same amount of time.
What were you trying to do with that album, by the way?
I mean, honestly, like it was all about change and dealing with change because we're both in kind of weird spots in our lives. You know, he's 27, I'm 28, and like I'm closer to 30 now and I'm still like trying to like rap. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like I'm in this weird spot where I'm like finally in a place where I'm kind of like financially stable doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But also like all my friends look at me like I'm a weirdo, you know, and I think he's kind of going through a similar thing. And like even down to like how we were recording, like I was recording in this like kind of weird spot, mixing in a different way than I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about like dealing with change. And like we have this whole saying about like summertime. Everybody has a summer, basically, like a point in their life that they look back on. So the whole idea is this feeling like our summer times are becoming like less and less, and feeling like we're always chasing that, but it's like kind of sad because like in the process of chasing it, you're kind of like missing out on other times, you know?
Yeah, I've noticed like at times in my life that I look back on and think, oh, I wish I could recreate that. I realize like you can't, because it's never going to be like it was. And so I'm always trying to like, I guess, to use the summer analogy, I'm trying to like make a different one in different chapters because, you know, yeah. You can't go back.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I have this thing that like there's like a certain feeling that I got like when we first dropped Ramona, and I was so like proud of it, and I'd worked so hard on it. And I was like, okay, if I can recreate that feeling in a different way, like once or twice a year of my life, then I'm not fucking up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not like a synthetic way, like not through like drugs or something, but like actually doing something that makes you feel accomplished in your life. Then if you do that, just check mark those off like once or twice every year, then you're not fucking up. And so just always be working towards that moment and enjoy it when it comes. Mm-hmm. That's how you make a summer for me now, I feel like.
But it's probably not going to be like a Ramona 2. It'd be something different.
Yeah, no, I don't think I can make music like that again, because it's very like young, like a lot of the ideas and stuff. I was in a completely different mind state. And now I think my next solo album, I think, is going to be way more like serious, mm-hmm. and like less wistful. And
yeah, not Ramona like, 2, Electric Boogaloo. Yeah,
you could always try Amnesia and just do it all over again.
That's a good idea.
Whacking himself with a 2x4 until he forgets? Or what are you talking about,
yeah,
Joe?
Basically, yeah, something like that.
That's what they do in those Chinese cartoons.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
They always have, in the anime, they always have they always get amnesia.
Speaking of anime, by the way, Joe actually did have a question about that.
Well, I just thought it was funny. I was listening to your music, and, you know, it's like these rap songs, and it sounds really good, by the way. I'm a huge fan. And I'm definitely going to check out the, you know, more of your music. And
you,
just man. Like, it's about these serious topics like relationships and themes like that. And then I watched the music videos and I noticed that it was all anime. It was just was surprising.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those, like, we've never actually done like an official video for like any of our songs. Well, I mm-hmm. haven't, like Arrow has, and like Wreck-A-Damn has and stuff like that. But like me personally, I haven't done one yet. But like basically what will happen is people who make AMVs, that's anime music videos, for people who don't
for people who aren't nerds. Yeah,
exactly. People would make AMVs for my stuff all the time. And I mean, I do talk about not just specifically anime, but just kind of nerdy things, just because I kind of am a nerdy dude and it just seeps out naturally. And so I think that's what garnered like those people to come and do those. And so like a bunch of people will make them for me, and then I'll post them on my channel, or they'll post them on theirs. And I was making my own for a little while just because I was bored and I thought it'd be fun, you know. And yeah, so that's basically how it all came down to it. But I have this whole thing with like any kind of like media that I ingest, I always like find parallels with it in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do that a lot with anime, especially like the Ramona era. And like I was doing that with like there's a whole bunch of like Death Note references and Conversation with Gravity, and it's not about Death Note at all. It's more about stuff I was going through. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? But yeah, so I think that's kind of where it comes from.
Do you think you could use the Death Note for good, by the way, or would you be too tempted by it?
Oh man, I would be definitely tempted by it. Not because like I don't know, man. I don't think I could actually. I don't think you can ever actually fully use a Death Note for good, because you're not meant to do that.
That's
like,
true.
You're not meant to be the guy. You're not. I mean, it'd be cool if you killed Hitler too, but
Hitler too, Electric Boogaloo.
You
know, yeah.
What if you killed Hitler too, Electric Boogaloo, and then it caused like Hitler 12 to come out?
Yeah, kind of, I mean, I guess, you know? Like,
Hitler 12, Attack just, from the just, Sea.
I think that's kind of the theme of the show, though, where it's like it's showing you that even, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So yeah,
exactly. I don't think Light actually had good intentions, though. I think he really just like
I think he thought he did, but yeah,
I think he thought he did. But he really did get a power trip out of killing people, like from the jump, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. You know. So, okay, I did want to ask a question from Gilad. He likes some of your stuff, the Jinzo the Trap Lord stuff, and he was wondering if that's ever going to come out again.
It's kind of weird because I'm not in like that headspace of making those same types of beats right now. I've been making more like crunchier, like lo-fi stuff. It's not lo-fi, but like low fidelity, like recording stuff. Like when I'm making beats now, instead of doing like these like super clean trap beats, just because I just think it's a phase I'm going through right now. I might go back to it eventually. Like I really want to get back into making like the psychedelic trap stuff that I was making like 2013, like the really like off the wall stuff. But right now I'm sober, so it's kind of like it's kind of harder for me to get in that mind state. But yeah, I mean, I just started like a little side project sort of called After School Death Club. This all these like kind of like crunchy, weird lo-fi beats that I've been. So, but yeah, eventually I'll probably get back into the Jinzo stuff. You know, he's never going to die for real because he's immortal because he's a Yu-Gi-Oh card. So,
but yeah. Okay. Let me go ahead and just let's finish off the last of the questions, by the way, might as well. Tej actually had a question for you about, he noticed that some of your backing tracks were from artists like Mira Mesa. And he was wondering like what the process was for like procuring those. And
usually you just hit up their email or their management email. And then you just try to find like, some sort of like, okay, you hit them up and you'd be like, oh, like, do you guys have this like available for lease or like, can we just, or is it just available through exclusive or is it like, do you want a percentage of the money or whatever? You just have to hit them up and just try to figure it out. But most people's management is pretty easy to get in contact with and you know, people don't turn down money most of the time.
Well,
you know, you know, sometimes you have to spend more than other times. But, you know.
Yeah. I imagine that's easier now that you're working towards, you know, being able to do this more full time.
Yeah, I just sold my kidneys, so.
Both of them?
All three of them, dog.
Oh, you're supposed to keep one.
Oh, shit.
Phil!
They love me down at the old dialysis clinic, dog.
Oh, no.
Okay, so Drace asks when he's going to release the sex tape with you and Ravioli.
I mean, it's out. You just gotta find it, Doug.
Oh, so it's just out there somewhere on the dark web.
It's an unlabeled .mov file floating around of me and Rav just furiously banging, but it's somewhere. I'm not gonna tell you what website it's on, but it rhymes with poogrounds.com.
Oh, okay. I have no idea what that could be, but, you know. Okay. So Jack B. asks, what inspired Good Luck Chuck because it slaps so hard, but it's real dark?
It's a song. I mean, it was like just a storytelling track. I had made up this character named Blondie, who was a stripper or a new stripper, a newfound stripper. I don't know. She just discovered her passion for stripping.
A new bio stripper.
She quit her job.
Wait, I'm sorry. This is somebody you know, or this is a story that you crafted? I missed.
It's a story I crafted because everyone always asks me, like, is this based on a true story? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm sure that this has happened before to someone, but it's just a guy who was a real total creep and a stalker, keeps coming to the strip club. She thinks that she's developing feelings for him because she's like kind of naive and he tips a lot of money and like buys her things and stuff like that. Almost a sugar daddy type situation. But she's actually legitimately attracted to him. They start hanging out and then he decides he wants to kill her.
They're both toxic for each other.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know, at the end it's talking about, grab the shoddy out of the closet, watch Blondie buck. She shoots him and he falls out the window, but it never says if he dies.
Plot twist for a sequel.
Wow. That does leave maybe room for a part two.
I mean, if I ever get off my ass and finish writing it, I might do a sequel, but it's kind of weird. It's a really old song now. Cause it was recorded in like 2013.
It'd be kind of cool to do the sequel then though. Cause it's like, oh wow. That was insanely long brick joke. Like, be kind of cool.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Webster asks, he's someone who's been dropping in and out of the channel. I think he's having trouble connecting, but so I'll make sure to get his question on. And this is his question. It's weird, but okay. He asks, go for it, dude. How does Bill open his frozen beans?
Man, I don't understand everybody's thing with the beans. Like, it's funny because, like, I get it, you know? He eating beans in the movie theater. But first of all, frozen beans?
Why are they frozen?
Like, we could just buy them out the can. They don't go bad, baby.
Wait, are these frozen beans or are these beans that are, like, Disney's Frozen themed? Like, they're frozen beans?
Yeah, it's
beans.
Really ambiguous, Webster. That was, that was a terrible question.
No, dude, no. I'm liking where this is going. I would, if I had beans that were frozen themed, what would they do? Like, it's not like SpaghettiOs where they can shape it to look like little frozen characters. What
no,
would they
it's
do
just a
Bill
picture on the...
Bill, just...
Let it go!
No.
It's just a picture on the can. And you open the can and there's beans in there, and it's just a picture that's like, now Elsa's...
Are they
they're
cold?
Using Elsa to market the beans.
Can they be cold?
Yeah, they're frozen. Yeah.
Are you asking if beans are capable of being cold?
Oh, I guess it doesn't matter if they're cold or not.
Oh, God. Rough, dude.
All right. I don't really have a segue for this, but I guess we can get off the beans topic. Can we talk about our other sponsor, Joe?
Yeah. So speaking of that.
Speaking of beans.
Don't you hate when your internet service provider throttles your internet speed, Lars?
Wow, yes. That was scripted as fuck.
All right, let me try that again. Speaking of that, Lars, don't you hate when your internet service provider throttles your internet speed?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of suspect that when I go on. He's just said the first podcast sponsored by Beans. That's ridiculous.
that's pretty spot on.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, sometimes I feel like they're getting real creative with how they give me my Netflix and YouTube and stuff. I think they've actually, a bunch of companies actually been caught doing that where they notice that you're using a lot of streaming and they just kind of take it down a notch. And
oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
That's sucks. A violation of my freedom.
What if I told you that for $4 a month, you could get rid of that problem forever?
Oh, that'd be great. If only there was such a thing.
Yeah. Too bad.
Unless.
Yeah.
I like where you're getting at.
NordVPN is a virtual private network that costs a ridiculously low amount of money. And it can protect you from throttling. It can protect you from hackers. It can protect you from the cancerous internet you get at the local Starbucks. It is practically free. Angel Jones, that's true. $4 a month is $4 away from being exactly free. Mm. And it's... You get security, you get location masking, so that if you want to watch something on, you know, the BBC iPlayer or something, that's an easy way to get around that. And if you want to get 75% off of a subscription, we actually have the means to get you that. How can we do that, Joe?
So there's actually a URL that you're going to get to, and the name of this URL, Lars, go ahead.
How do you not know that?
What is it? Nord.
It's nord.t1podcast.com.
Nord.t1podcast.com. And when you check out.
Kill Bill, what's the name of this podcast?
It's the first podcast, ever in existence. And also, if you go to nord.t1podcast.com.
I was actually trying to set you up to so I could say that was the discount code you can use at checkout. The first podcast, all one word. That's first as in the word, not first as in 1st. That's nord.t1podcast.com. Anyway.
Can I add my own little slogan at the end of this ad?
I guess, man.
No, go ahead, yeah.
Okay, cool. Get NordVPN today because Skyrim belongs to the Nords.
I like it. I'll take
it. Good. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a little racist. I think it's racist in Skyrim.
Well,
language,
it's racist for like a fantasy, like, Elder Scrolls race.
Not
so it's,
like real world racist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why is that a little weird saying it? Ooh, someone sent a spoiler image to the chat. I'm kind of curious what that is.
I hope it's a penis.
Oh.
Oh, I guess we'll find out. No penis. It's Bowser with... That's you.
I wish it was a penis.
That's you, Kill Bill.
That's from the Wisconsin show, that picture. That was me when I was messing with the computer.
This chat's really distracting. I feel like I should minimize it.
All right, we're going to leave the chat right now because otherwise, so we'll be back in a
well,
right.
No, I mean,
our chat in our Discord is a little crazy, and we're getting some spillover from our Discord.
Definitely. But
they're great people.
What
I
if
love
we
them all
unmuted
beautiful.
Everyone for a second and everyone talks all over us?
Yo, I got a story. I got a story about that. When we dropped New Moon, we did it in our Discord channel. Like we got everybody in there, gathered up, and we were like, we're doing an announcement, and we kind of hyped it up. And then we had like over 100 people in the channel, like in just voice chat, you know? Wow. And like, when I came in, I was just like, cause normally you can go in there and it's sort of manageable, you know? And I went in there and everybody was just screaming at the top of their lungs. And it was like, everything was just clipping in on itself. And I was like, you know what? We're just going to mute everybody but us. But yeah. Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was like the equivalent of just letting them go, you know?
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Elder Scrolls, the thing that I just linked in the channel is an interview we did with the creator of Elder Scrolls. I highly recommend people check it out.
Oh, shit. I got to see that. That'd be great. Or hear that. Hear it? Hear it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good episode.
Hear it.
Like, don't start playing it right now because we're recording, but yeah.
Oh, I'm already 20 minutes in.
Oh, shit. Anyway.
Pretty good interview.
God damn it.
What if your superpower was that you could listen to podcasts really, really fast and like retain all the information?
You can. You listen to it at double speed and just pay attention.
Yeah, come on, Bill. Everyone knows that already. No, that gives me a good segue though. One of our traditions on the show is to ask people what their useless superpower is.
Oh, this is my favorite. And if you're in the audience, feel free to just type it out. What's your useless superpower?
Yeah.
But Mr. Sorry. Bill, and I'm just going to, because Kill is your first name, right? Kill Bill?
So, yeah.
So.
What's your useless superpower?
Well, yeah, what's your useless superpower, mister?
We actually had an episode on
We Don't Suck
about this, and
nice.
God, I can't remember what it was, but it was so dumb. Oh, it was I had hands for feet and feet for hands. I'll link the episode to you guys in a little bit because it's definitely probably it's one of my favorites, but yeah. It's an earlier. I think it's like episode 3 or something.
I think
had feet for hands and hands for feet. And I also was green, but like I didn't have any like superpowers like the Hulk. I just was green.
Yep.
And I wore a Speedo that had a hand on it. And then on the back, it just said hand, like in all caps, just hand.
Mm.
And I'm not the hand. They just call me hand.
I think the favorite one that we had on our show so far was the ability to lay a chicken egg out of your butt. Because it's just like,
that's fire.
It's just kind of gross, you're not gonna want
first
to eat
of all,
it.
Like, yeah, like, would you want to eat something that came out of your butt?
I mean, is it fertilized?
No, it's like,
are you giving birth? Or are you having,
like you
chicken
get,
chicken?
It's like you get no, one free egg per day, and it comes out of your butt, but there's no saying it's not gonna, like, it's gonna come out intact. It's a chicken egg. It's like a delicate chicken egg. Yeah, it probably will.
Yeah, like, but if it breaks in your butt?
Yeah,
if someone tuned in randomly right now, they'd be very confused of why we're talking about laying chicken eggs out of your butt.
I mean, it's chill, dog.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it's just where we're at. That's fine.
Yeah, you know. But my question was, y'all didn't understand my question. We have to go a little deeper into this.
Okay.
My question was, if you have the chicken egg, if you birth the egg and it is successfully passed through your anus, okay? If you just leave the egg alone, Will a bird come out of it eventually?
Okay, so my response to that is, would this power be more or less desirable based on the answer? Like,
no, I'm just curious.
I feel like it would be more useless if you did get a chicken out of it, because there's just like, I mean, do you have room for chickens in your life right now? Like, I don't.
I mean, I don't, but like, you know. Yep. I was just saying, because like if I don't want to eat a fertilized chicken egg, if I were to eat a scrambled egg out of my own ass,
okay,
I would want it to be an infertile egg.
So if when you're talking about your own ass eggs, you would only want it to be an infertile egg is what you're saying.
If I were to eat it, yes.
Okay.
What if it was an egg that, let's say you're not going to eat it, you want to have an offspring, and it's an exact like asexual reproduction of yourself would you let this baby that is you grow, and would you raise it?
Oh, hell nah, dude, because then he would learn he'd have my same genes, and he would learn how to kill Bill better than me through experience, and he would see, like, wow, you did some dumb shit when you were 22, so, like, I'm gonna not do that, and then he's gonna become way more powerful than me, and then eventually be the end of me.
All right.
So, no, I can't.
All right, I just went ahead and hid that image that Tej has posted. That was disgusting. Jesus, Tej.
I have sort of a useless superpower inspired by, some dreams I've had. Picture this. The ability to run as fast as you want and as far as you want without ever getting tired, but only in your dreams. Only when you're dreaming.
That's rough.
That is entirely useless.
Yeah. Sometimes I go for a run in my dreams. I'm like, I've been running for 10 miles. This is a great run. And then I wake up and I'm like, it wasn't real.
Oh, that's rough.
Oh, dude, I had a dream the other day where, like, I got fired from my job. Like, thanks, brain, for that. That was wonderful.
I used to have dreams after I got fired from, after I did actually get fired from my last job, that I was working there again and they gave me a second chance. And I woke up and I was like,
dang,
nope.
You wake up and you're sad.
Unemployed.
Oh, hey.
I got a question for you guys. I have a question for you. Do you guys ever lucid dream?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I used to do it a lot more, but yeah. I used for sure.
What do you guys do in your dreams?
I fly.
Mostly I fly.
And
just
create, like, things. I try to, like, play The Sims in my dreams with, like,
oh, that's
like SimCity and stuff, like, if I can. Like, usually I'm not able to get that far, but.
Can I tell you guys a dream I had when I was in middle school that was a lucid dream?
You can certainly try.
Oh, I'll give it an
attempt. No, go ahead.
Air horns. No, so in my dream, I was in a city, and I realized, you're dreaming right now, Bill. You're dreaming. You can do anything. So, of course, me being the person I am, I gave myself Dragon Ball Z-style superpowers, right? And so I powered up. I went Super Saiyan. I was flying through the air. It was sick, right? And then, like, I'm walking down the street and I'm like, yeah, this dream is sick. And I bumped into this dude and the dude turned around a little and he was like, hey, buddy, watch where you're going. So then, like, I just Kamehameha'd him through the building. This, like, skyscraper just completely is destroyed, kills everyone in it. OK. And it's like, it was super realistic. Like, everyone's like screaming and like lost body parts and shit. And I'm like, oh, no, I killed them. And I forgot that I was dreaming. And then I went and I just flew off into the sunset and I was like, I'm too powerful. I have to kill myself before I destroy the world. And I flew into the sunset and I woke up.
That's pretty cool. I once had a dream that I killed someone. I killed someone by accident in my dream. And I didn't know that it was.
No one cares, Joe. Right. I'm going to mute you.
Abraham Lincoln. No, you killed Abraham Lincoln.
No, it was actually Morgan Freeman.
Wow.
Yeah. Great. That's great, Joe.
All right.
Bill, is there anything that you wanted to get to that we haven't really talked about yet?
I mean, we haven't really touched on Morgan Freeman until right now. You know, I think we can go a little deeper into that.
You want to go a little bit deeper into Morgan Freeman?
Yeah. He's kind of a creepy guy. He said something about the girl being ripe one time. It was a little weird.
I mean, he's kind of getting up there in age now. So he's like,
oh, yeah,
probably going to be
old people doing sexy stuff is weird.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when I'm an old person, I'm probably still going to want to do it. Just
I mean,
it's sexy stuff. But
unless you're talking about somebody like super sexy, like I don't know, Barbara Streisand.
Oh yeah, he's kind of into old grandmas. That's his thing.
Yeah,
you know, it's not. I'm not saying that like old people having sex is gross. I'm talking about like the way old people talk about sex is gross.
Oh,
like cause, like we'll be talking about it, even if it's gross. Like what we're saying is like, haha, blah blah blah. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like
things they would say like, and then our cold, wrinkly bodies were intertwined.
No. More like using phrases like, oh, like she's ripe is pretty gross.
Oh, gross.
You know, like that's like an old person phrase to describe women or I guess. And it just really makes me want to just vom everywhere, you know?
Yeah, I don't like that.
So I'm not trying to think of any more, but I was just saying, I was just letting you guys know.
Yeah, let's get off of the old people sex thing.
Let's go a little deeper.
Hey, Billy, you have any bad date stories?
Oh, I got a good bad date
story. Oh, yeah, we were going to ask you that. Yeah, I'm glad Joe remembered.
Let's see. I have one that happened. Well, it wasn't really a bad date. We had a good time. But the other day I went out with my girlfriend and we went to this spot and we got like fried pickles. Right. And they were great, but they were really, really hot. And it was like one of those things that like they're good and you wanted to keep eating them, even though it was like scorching your mouth.
Yes.
And like I inhaled a little bit of hot air and it made me cough and I coughed like fried pickle, like all over my girlfriend's face.
Yum.
And. But I mean, she enjoyed the dinner, so it wasn't that bad. But I had this one time where I talked to a girl who like catfished me one time, a long time ago. She didn't really catfish me, but she was like photoshopping her pictures to make herself look different than she actually was.
She half-fished you.
Yeah, I
she
mean,
she actually edited them.
I'm pretty sure she edited them. Either that or she was like really good with like angles and stuff, but like I don't know, like I'm a chubby guy, you feel me? Like it's not about that. It was just kind of like I expected one thing. Mm-hmm. I met her and it was like a completely different thing, and she was like a sweet girl too. It was like kind of fun, and it was like we were talking for a little bit beforehand. Yeah. And I like kind of got like attached to her just because we used to talk all the time on the phone, and like she was from the city that I went to college at, and then like I went to go up there for like other reasons. I was like, oh, let's hang out, let's go on a date, and it just went really bad.
Well, it's you know, a relationship, you can't have a foundation on lies. Like,
so you got there and you realized that she looked different,
right? It was like this, it was like at the time I got dropped off there because I was like staying with somebody, and like he dropped me off like where she said she was going to be at. And then she was just going to drive me back. And this is before I had a car.
I thought when you said you got dropped off, you met like by your mom or something.
No. Okay. Like my boy,
I was thinking this was like high school. Like,
yeah, no, this was like my first year of college. Okay. And like she, my boy dropped me off and then I got in her car and it was just like an immediate, like it was weird. Cause like I got like attached to her over the internet, just talking, you know, and like we Skyped, but we never like video Skyped,
you know?
And I don't know why we didn't. Now I know why. But yeah. Anyway, like then we, like I got in the car and like my heart just sank because it was just like she looked different than what I thought she was going to look like totally different, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, actually, is the crazy part is like I probably would have still talked to her if she was just like upfront about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it was just like, it's like the equivalent of like, going to get a glass of Coke and it's like coconut milk or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Something completely different. You know?
Okay, so Thick Meme Queen actually has a serious question, and it's about EXO. She's curious, what's the process for finding new members of it? What do you guys look for in an artist?
Yeah, yeah. What are the parameters that they must meet?
I mean, honestly, it's not as much about like meeting parameters, because there's like tons of artists that we work with or talk to that we never want in EXO, but they're just the homies that we support. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more about like it started, just to give it a little bit like context, because it was the five of us originally. It's okay. So it was me, Ethan, Rav, Ethan is Data Cat. Me, Ethan, Rav, Recadam and Square originally, and it was just like they were a part of a label, a lot of them, like we knew each other all from the internet, and like Rav was a part of a label and so was Ethan, and they moved away from that label, and then Rav was like, I want to start my own label, and not more like a collective, I guess. And so me and Rav, it made sense. Square, we were just like homies with, and we really fucked with his music at the time. And like, same thing with Recadam. And then the only new members we've had so far are Ashido Brown and Aerospace. Now Ashido, we found he didn't have like any followers hardly. He is incredibly dope. If y'all haven't gotten the chance to check out Ashido Brown, he's crazy.
Okay.
And it was just like, he just fit our vibe and everything. And he was just like a cool guy talking to him. And then Arrow, we actually, he's been making music for a long time, and he just like was, he always was working with like friends of friends, you know, it was kind of like the degrees of separation in the indie rap scene. And anytime we would notice like we would have like look on Google searches and stuff and see like where we were mentioned on the internet. anytime someone was like, recommend me an album like Ramona, they would put Volume 2 by Aerospace on there. Like, and then so we checked them out. And at first we were like, who's this guy? Then we actually listened and we're like, oh, he's incredible. So then we had just worked with him a few times. And then the LA show in August was when we announced that he was a part of the team. And ever since then, it's been a big rap. But it just made sense with Arrow because we had so much overlap in fan base, and he's a cool guy on top of that. He's like one of the like nicest dudes I've ever met, you know, and it just like, he feels like family, like having him around, you know what I'm saying? Same with everybody else. It's just like, it feels like family, you feel me? Even though we're not all like in a centralized location.
So in other words, basically the answer to the question is the vibe has to match.
Yeah, the vibe has to match. Also, like, we're kind of like, we're weirdly selective, and it's mostly Rav. Rav is the guy who like kind of picks people out. You know, I'll give input on stuff, but I always trust Rav's vision on things. He's like one of those dudes that knows vibes and aesthetics really well. He just has like an eye and an ear. And, you know, anytime he says to do something, like, I actually take it with like a lot of respect, and I'll be like,
a grain of salt.
Yeah, right. I'm taking it with a grain of salt. I tell him to go home. No, but anytime Rav says something like it doesn't vibe, or if it does vibe, I do take it like super seriously.
Gerard, why don't you everyone, round of applause for Gerard.
Gerard, good guy. Bring him on. Gerard Butler. Can't believe he's here.
Gerard, you're unmuted.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome on.
I just wanted to thank you very much. I just wanted to ask who you play in Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh, my team right now is Bardock on point, and then I have Broly and Hit.
Oh, not bad.
Any follow-up questions?
No, that tells me everything I need to know.
Okay. All right, thank you, Gerard.
All right.
Thank you.
You can tell a lot about a person by who they play in Dragon Ball FighterZ.
I don't play enough of that game to know, but I'm assuming that's correct.
A lot of people don't like that I have Bardock on point. They say it's cheap. But I say, well, it's how
off,
you get the job
then.
Done.
I mean, it's just play the game how you want to play. It's your game.
Yep. Yeah, man.
So this is kind of the point in the show. Like, I feel like we'd talk to you all day, but we want to keep it, you know, relatively brief for the audience. Let's go ahead and give out some information about, like, if people wanted to find your stuff, where would they go? And, you know, just where they can locate you.
Well, pretty much all my social media is I am Kill Bill, because I am Kill Bill. So that's my Instagram, Twitter. I'm on SoundCloud, Spotify, YouTube. If you put in Kill Bill the Rapper in Google, that's probably the quickest way to find like all of my stuff. All of our stuff is available on the X Society Bandcamp, which is, if you Google X Society Bandcamp, you'll find it, or Exordium Bandcamp. That's our old name. All of our stuff is available for free download. It's pay what you want, but you can put the big fat zero on our Bandcamp and you can download pretty much anything we have for free, or you can stream it, or you can donate if you're feeling saucy. And yeah, pretty much it, you know. Follow the homeboy Rav. It's I am Rav on Twitter and XO Rav on Instagram. And yeah, our Twitter is X Society, like EXO. It's X Society HQ. So,
by the way, a couple members of the audience were saying that they wanted to potentially see Rav come on for a sequel to this episode. I might reach out to him about that.
Yeah, definitely. I'll holler at him about it. He's in Vancouver right now.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, I mean, he seems to be enjoying himself.
What a weird thing to say, Lars.
Oh no, there's a meme on this show that Canada is not that great.
It was awkward when we had Kirsten Collins on, who's from Canada.
Yeah, the Canadian pop star. Yeah. Well, we didn't tell her that I was one of the memes.
We were making fun
point.
Of her to her face, and she started to cry on the show.
No, Joe, no.
Yeah, you just have to go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear it.
By the way, if people wanted to go back and listen to other episodes of our show,
well, the easiest way is to go to t1podcast.com. From there, they'd be able to find all of our links to our Spotify and Apple podcast link, and they would be able to go basically down our list that way.
And all of our social media accounts are T1 Podcast as well. Yeah.
T1 Podcast.
Patreon.com/T1Podcasts helps the show. If you want to support us, every dollar helps, although this is a labor of love. And if you want to email us, unfortunately, T1Podcast@gmail.com was for some fucking reason taken, so we are firstpodcast ever@gmail.com.
Yeah, god damn it, that fucking guy.
I have no
idea
why someone would take that, because there's not a T1 podcast, but, you know, people that's are weird.
But you got the other one, so that's like counts. Oh, yeah, sorry, I don't know if you want to edit this in or you can just make it awkward.
You no, guys just say what you guys say.
You should check out our podcast, Me and Raph's podcast.
We don't suck.
It's all one word on YouTube, and we're on iTunes, and we're getting on the other podcast stuff. I don't know. I just listen to stuff on iTunes, so I don't know where to put it. But we'll figure it out. But yeah, it's We Don't Suck. It's a weekly podcast. It's terrible. I literally did, like, 2 weeks ago, we did air guitar for like 15 minutes, and that was an episode.
Oh, that sounds but it's great. Thank you for sharing that.
So if you enjoy the quality of this podcast and you want something that has none of that, I guess you can go check that out.
Yeah, exactly.
Soviet Spy says, Bill, what way do you wipe your ass?
Well, he has a new way now.
Yeah, the three shells method, I think.
Yeah, the three shells method is going to, you know, I do... personally, right now, you know, I do...
You're wiping your ass right now?
It's like a... Yeah, I just continually wipe my ass at all times. That's how I... Yeah, that's my secret cap. I'm always wiping my ass.
You know how, like, if you clean your room, like, for 5 minutes every day, you don't have to do a big thing every week? It's like if you're always wiping your ass.
Exactly. It's like, you got it.
It's never a really big
job. Never gets that bad. Secrets. Or retrospect, or the other way, if you don't want to wipe your ass every time, just wipe it really good once a month.
Ew. Thanks, Joe. Yeah. That really added something to that.
Just kidding. We won't put that in.
Well, I have to.
He puts it in there three times.
If you don't want to wipe your ass every time, just wipe it really good once a month. Just wipe it really good once a month. Really good once a month.